Hey, what's up, friend? It is Sam Altieri. Welcome back to another episode of the Balance with Sam podcast. I am a coach and an author and a speaker, and I am so stoked you're here to help you heal your relationship with food and your body. If you've ever struggled with your weight, with body image, with food, you are in the right place. It is something that I struggled with for years and years and years, and after helping hundreds of women overcome their food and body image struggles, you are next. I am so stoked to bring you all the strategies, all the tools, all the mindset work to help you feel confident in your body again so you can take your life back, be unstoppable, be confident, be a freaking badass, because that's what you truly are. And this podcast is exactly for you. I'm so stoked to bring it to you, and I am so grateful you are here. Now let's dive into the episode, and I'm so excited to see you transform.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to another episode of the Balance with Sam podcast. On today's episode, I have an amazing woman. She is such a light leader. Her name is Stephanie Ray, and she is a somatic experiencing and embodiment practitioner. Such a mouthful, but more importantly, she is like the fucking biggest ray of light. And I am so excited to bring her on and have her share her wisdom and knowledge and all the light that she is with you. So I want to welcome you, girlfriend. I'm so excited to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here with you. When you mentioned this, I was like, ooh, yes, this is going to be so fun and juicy because, like our conversations are just, they're awesome.
They're so good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And I just absolutely like, I love your energy. I think that your energy is so palpable. Like for you guys listening, I'm sure you can already tell, like, you're just like, oh my God, she sounds like Sam. And that's what everyone says to me. They're like, I love your energy. And I'm like, I need to find other people that just have fucking amazing energy. And you are so one of them. I was so drawn to you when I'm pretty sure it was through Amanda, Amanda became my coach. And you guys did you guys do like an ayahuasca ceremony together?
Yes, we did an ayahuasca ceremony. Well, it was like a 5-day retreat over New Year's this last year at Soltara. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same thing. She's got a lot of the same energy as us and met, and we, you know, we were together the whole time. So that's definitely who we met through.
Yes. Yeah. And I think what it was is she recommended, like, you were doing a breathwork workshop. That's what it was. And I signed up, Hannah signed up, and I was like, I don't know what just happened to me, but I'm really curious, and I loved that experience. And then I just kept coming like back, and I was like, I love stuff.
I remember when I first met both of you guys, and Amanda had actually texted me. She's like, all my friends are coming to your thing. And so I remember meeting you. Oh, it was so fun.
Yes. So for everyone listening, like, why don't you share a little bit about you, what you do, how you got into what you do? Just share it all. What are you up to these days?
Yeah. So like you said, it's kind of a mouthful of my official title. Yeah. I'm like, how do I make this more understandable and relatable? But it really is what it is. So I do somatic experiencing, and my niche is for sexual trauma and sexual embodiment. Mm-hmm. And I've been an embodiment practitioner, oh gosh, for about 12 to 13 years, starting off with yoga and breath work and meditation. Mm-hmm. And then got into the energy work, into tantra. And I love all of those like more spiritual aspects. And then the somatic experiencing aspect is actually a modality that Dr. Peter Levine brought out into the world. And it's a bottom-up way to process trauma. So the theory is that trauma is held in our bodies. Yep. It's not cognitive, it's held in our bodies. And until we can come into our bodies and be able to feel and release the trauma from our bodies, feel through the emotions in their totality without the suppressing, the avoiding, the dissociating, the numbing out, which we all do.
Yep.
They stay there and they just wreak havoc on our physicality, on our mental state, on our mind, on our body, and our soul. So it's a really innovative, I mean, it's been around for decades, but it's starting to come into the mainstream. And somatic experiencing and embodiment really are all about tapping into the innate wisdom that our body has and helping us release anything that is holding us back, whether that's emotions that we've suppressed, whether that's trauma that we have suppressed. And it helps us to live this full expression of our lives. And it's just, gosh, it's the most amazing work. Sometimes I feel like it's magical.
Yeah.
Just witnessing the body heal itself is really, really powerful and beautiful. And that's kind of how I got into it, is I had it done on me at a 7-day retreat called Path of Love. Yeah. And I walked out of that retreat and I was like, here I am. I am coming for you, world.
I am your light.
It was like rainbows were shooting out of everywhere in my body. And I integrated it, which is a huge part of the experience. And so then I started going back and witnessing hundreds and hundreds of people and these practitioners working with them. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Yeah. I've been in therapy for years and I've never seen people make breakthroughs like this.
Mm.
And these releases and just feel so safe and whole in their body again in such a short time. And so I sat them down and I was literally like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
I need to learn to do this. And I signed up for the Somatic Experiencing Trauma Therapy Program, and the rest is history.
Oh my God, that is so amazing. Yeah, and that's the one that we were talking about, right? The program? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's a 3-year program.
So. Oh my gosh. That is so incredible. And for you guys listening, like, I think what we'll do is we'll kind of unpack what these words mean, because if you're like, what is somatic experiencing? Like, what is embodiment? What is integration? It can feel like if you're new to the space, but you're curious and you're like, this sounds like something I want to know more about, like getting more into your body and out of your head, which is what I work with a lot of women on, is like processing your shit, like dealing with and understanding emotions instead of either avoidance or numbing. Those are usually the two that I experience as it relates to food. And how do we kind of do that release? So could you share a little bit about like what is somatic experiencing?
Yeah. So if we literally break down the word somatic, soma means body. So it's experiencing your body. So that broken down even further is learning to experience sensations in your body, which can absolutely feel like a foreign concept. If you walk up to somebody on the street and you're like, what sensations are you experiencing in your body? Most people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I have no idea. So it's learning to recognize, you know, maybe there's a fluttering in your stomach, or maybe you're starting to feel heat somewhere in your body, or maybe there's an absence of sensation, that numbness that you were talking about, which actually gives us wonderful information as well. So once you can start to tap into those sensations, they are linked to emotions, and that's where you start getting the emotional healing. So the route to have those emotional releases is through feeling the body sensations. And with the sensations in the body, it's like your body's telling you a story, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's somewhere where you fell or got in a car wreck or something, like your right side, and every now and then, like you're in a car and you find your right side tensing up and you're like, oh, if I really feel into that and sit with that, I remember the impact of the car hitting me on the right side, and we work from there. Mm-hmm. So that's what somatic experiencing is. It's using the wisdom of your body, the intuitive wisdom of sensations and experiences, behaviors, shaking, different things, and using that to help find those emotional releases.
Oh my God, that is so cool. Yeah, and I think like it's so cool at the way that you describe it for me personally, because I am very much doing this work and I'm like starting to teach on it because it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, like your body can't speak English, but it does speak in sensations. And it's like, that is like the language and starting to notice. And I think for me, and I'm curious to know for you too, the first emotion that sensation, I started to notice, and how it feels is fear, like feeling that like constricting, like I just went on a roller coaster, like freaking out, that real, like it's just in my gut and it feels, and it's in my chest and it's like a shortness of breath. And like, when I notice myself in that state, I'm like, oh, I'm scared. That's what's going on. Right. Yes. And like, that was the first emotion I ever noticed. And it was, for me, it was around money. It was around like when I got an email notification about like a bank account or like a PayPal thing or whatever, I would freak out because I had so much shit on money that like my body was like, so like, it's not ready to either have money or spend money, or there's a lot of fear around money. Yeah. So I'd be curious to hear like your experience, in sensations, feelings, or even like, how do you start feeling things or noticing sensations? Like, is there a way, if people are feeling like totally numb, they have no connection to their body, how do you start?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question, because it's really difficult to say, okay, go and feel, just feel. Like, yeah. That's just what you do. That's kind of like when people say, just go meditate and sit. Just go sit there and be quiet and meditate. You know, you're like, oh my God, am I doing this wrong? Am I sitting? Thoughts are coming in my head. And it's the same thing. If you tell somebody to just go feel sensations, they're like, oh, what am I feeling? Am I overthinking this? And then everybody gets in their brain. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. So the first thing is, if you're extremely numbed out and this is work that you want to do, being with a facilitator or somebody, a coach, a practitioner, a therapist, somebody who understands the dynamics, I think is extremely helpful. Yeah. So first and foremost that. But in order to do it yourself at home, if you wanted to just start, I would say set a timer, literally set a timer, because then you know that there's an end in sight, right? So set a timer for 3 to 5 minutes, not very long at all, and just sit there and speak out loud. I really encourage a lot of voice. And so you might want to do it in a room where nobody's around, because you're probably going to start judging yourself at first if this is a new practice for you. And just noticing, like, right now my left hand feels really tight. My right leg is moving a little. I feel something fluttering in my chest. And just start noticing, building up your vocabulary of what sensations are. Mm-hmm. So hot, cold, tense, tight. It can be pain. Like, maybe notice different areas of pain in your body. Like, I worked out yesterday, so right now, like, my butt is so sore because I did a million squats.
Yeah.
Or the absence of pain. Like, actually, my right arm feels really good right now. It feels like there's not pain. So noticing where there's sensation and where there's not sensation, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And just allow yourself those 3 to 5 minutes to just sit and feel. And then consistently do it. It takes time. It's like you're building an emotional, sensational muscle in your body of being able to vocalize this, but really being able to speak them out loud. And then if you're working with somebody, you can kind of go deeper and begin to unwrap, well, what's underneath that? Like, and if you're doing it consistently, it's like, God, my right neck is always so tight. So why? Like, maybe there's trauma there. Maybe you fell when you were a baby. Maybe you fell when you were a little kid. Like, it can go back to so many different things.
Yeah.
And if you're working with somebody, you can really dig into the visuals that come up, the behaviors, the since other emotions that come up when you sit with that.
Yeah. So it's almost like chronic pain or recurring pain is just trauma in the body that has yet to be released.
Oh, hell yes. Absolutely. I mean, if you think of chronic tension, your body's in this free state, and it's never been allowed to get that tension and that trauma out. So I've worked with a lot of women with sexual trauma who grow up and have fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And once they start processing through the trauma, it's like their body. And a lot of time I see it with releases where they're feeling hot, like almost like a hot flash. Yeah. They're not having an actual hot flash, but they go into full on sweating. I've had this happen with me as well. Yeah. Or their body will just start shaking. And it's not, it's very primal. Like you look at dogs, dogs shake all the time. Cats, they shake all the time when they're excited, everything, but their body will start shaking. Or experiences heat, and it's like their body is coming out of this frozen state. Their muscles are finally able to start relaxing, and sometimes it's greatly healed with, you know, a few sessions, and a lot of times it takes more than that because we fall into these patterns, and you have to really train your body that it's safe now, and that's where that word integration comes in. You're safe now to stay loose and to have this release. And so it's a lot of training the nervous system that now your body is a safe place to be. But yeah, I work with many, many women with chronic pain. And as I said, fibromyalgia and somatic experiencing has been the greatest form of therapy and trauma healing that they can do because their body is finally able to come out of this chronic freeze.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so beautiful. And I'm like, it's like giving me flashbacks of even just recently in the past 6 months, like I've had a lot of that like release and I've noticed just feeling way more free and lighter and way less fear, like less pain. And noticing when I am storing tension or pain or whatever, just getting curious around it and being like, what is this? Like, is this from something? Is this because I have bad posture? Like, what is this, you know?
Absolutely. And that is that word, you nailed it. It's curiosity. And that's all it is. And sometimes you literally might have just slept on your neck wrong, you know? Right. But if you get curious about everything, then eventually it's going to lead you where you need to look.
Yeah.
And it's really trusting, like your body. If you are here living and breathing today, your body has brought you this far and it hasn't given up on you.
Yeah.
And so it's constantly trying to show you, I want to release this. I want to release this. And it does it in so many different ways. And trauma manifests in so many different ways. And so, yeah, once you're able to tap into that is when the real healing begins, like that really deep cellular level, nervous system level healing, like that good juicy stuff.
The juicy.
The really juicy stuff.
Yeah. I love how you talk about it. Cause I think like when I work with the women that I work with, we talk about like becoming like friends with or being in a partnership with your body. And like you're not always gonna love it, and that's okay, but you can respect it and like accept where it's at. And knowing that like it's gotten you this far, and even if it doesn't look the way that you want it to look, or even if it's holding weight in places you don't want it to hold, right? Like it's still there, it's showing up, and being in this like surrender phase with it. And I'd be curious to know, like, because I know that in like past conversations we've had around sexual trauma and disordered eating, I would love to kind of just go there and talk about the relationship between the two and how past sexual trauma can manifest itself as disordered eating, restriction, binging, any eating disorder, or like unwanted weight gain, or stubborn, like having a hard time losing weight, even to keep our body safe.
Absolutely. So disordered eating and sexual trauma are, as we've talked about this, they're two things that most every woman, not all, but I will say most women can relate to on some level, right? And so there's a lot of trauma around there, whether it's come from society, whether it's come from a perpetrator, whether it's come from harassment walking down the road. Women's bodies, we're meant to feel, we were raised to feel unsafe in our body, right? And so there is a huge correlation a lot of times with disordered eating, compulsive eating, anorexia, bulimia, and sexual trauma that I find in many of my clients. And so not all the time, but it can lead to that. So, you know, you kind of have a few ends of the spectrum. You've got, you know, anorexia and bulimia, and that's you know, denying yourself, obviously, you know, the food. And a lot of times that can be a cry for help, especially if it started in childhood and it's not spoken about and they don't have anybody to tell.
It can definitely be,
you know, it's a huge cry for help. And it can also be that they're terrified of what has happened in their body as a child. And they think, well, what in the hell is going to happen to me when I become a grown woman? So let me stay as small as I can, so I never have to actually grow up and experience this again.
Wow. Yeah. I haven't thought of it like that. That's so powerful. I mean, I think that that's the inherent underlying feeling of that, like restricting, right? Of like, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to expose myself. I don't want to be vulnerable. And that can feel really unsafe, of course, if you've had anything. It could be, I mean, I think the conversation of trauma can also feel like, oh, it has to be this really huge thing for it to be considered trauma. And like, that's not how our brain works. Like, trauma is trauma. And it's like, I'm curious to know, like, what your view is on that, like just the scale of things, like how much does it need to be in order for it to have an impact on us?
Yeah. So there's not really a scale. I mean, a lot of people like to use big T, little T trauma, big T being like war, sexual trauma, violence and different things, and small trauma, big T trauma being neglect or not being seen and heard as a child. But if you really look at it, two people could get into the same car accident, right? You're in the same car and say somebody else is driving. So they're both in the back, right? And they're hit directly from the front. So they are impacted in the exact same way. Yeah. One person could literally shake it off and go out to the bar and just hang out the rest of the night with their friends and just like nothing happened. And somebody else, it could shake up their nervous system so much that it sends them to years and years of therapy, or they never want to get in a car again, or they'll never get into a blue car again, or they see a truck with headlights that looks like the car that hit them, they freeze up. Yeah. So it's really difficult to distinguish trauma. Trauma lives in our nervous system. And since we all have different nervous systems, we're all going to have different effects when something traumatic happens. And trauma can be when you're 4 years old and your parents are late to pick you up from somewhere. And then all of a sudden you're like, I've been abandoned. My parents are dead and I am going to die because now I don't have parents. And that can be extremely traumatizing to the nervous system of a child in the same way that sexual trauma can be. Mm-hmm. Obviously very different situations. So there's an array of situations, but trauma lives in the nervous system. So as said, you could have somebody with the exact same experience, literally the exact same experience, and they could both walk away and process it 100% different.
Yeah, that is so fascinating. And I think that's like, I think that's the key for you guys listening too, is like when stuff happens in your life, it may not show up in ways that you may think. It may get buried, right? Like it's in your nervous system, which is not a visible thing. It's not like you're looking at your nervous system like, hey, nervous system, how are you doing, right? But it's like going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, noticing the sensations, right? Like noticing where you may be feeling stuck or pain or like what's going on in your life. Like, is there any manifestation of that happening in your day-to-day?
Absolutely. And so looking at our different patterns and our behaviors and, you know, bringing it back to our eating patterns and our eating behaviors, and then also our sexual patterns and our sexual behaviors, you know, because those are kind of both of where our intersections are. Yeah. It's fascinating because, as we said, most women can relate to one or both of these. Yep. And noticing what keeps occurring. And then once you start paying attention to that, like what now? You know, how do I start to feel safe again in my body? So that's ultimately what we want, right? Is we want to feel safe in our body. And we have numbed out or dissociated or avoid or distract so much that we don't even know what that looks like oftentimes to feel safe in our body.
Yeah. So how do we build safety in our body?
Very slowly. and integrating every single piece. So I love what you said about befriending our body, because that is the heart of embodiment work.
Yeah.
Is this idea of embodied pleasure, right? So that's usually where I like to start.
Yeah.
Because we want to have resources to build on. So we don't want to just sit and talk about, oh, this is why I have this, this, and this, and this is all the shit. Mm-hmm. We need to have good things to pull in, right? So we need to make friends with our body. And in order to do that, like, you've got to start really small. So what actually makes your body feel good? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's sitting by a window and feeling the sun on your face. How does that mm-hmm. make your body feel? How do you feel when you feel that sun, or when you put your feet in the grass, or what smells just really light you up? Maybe it's like a eucalyptus candle or an essential oil or citrus. Could be anything. Or fresh baked bread. I mean, whatever it is, what music makes you come alive? Is there a certain song that you just, you know this, you're a dancer and a music girl like me. It's like sometimes you just put on a song and it doesn't matter your mood, and you're just like, oh yeah, like here we go. I feel this in my soul.
Yes. Yes. So you get out of the chair and you're like, your butt is shaking. You're like, oh man.
Exactly. You're like, I didn't even know I had these moves.
But let's be real. We all know we got the moves.
Oh, we do. We do. We all have the moves in us. And that is a conversation that we could go on forever about. So yeah, it's finding those different things. Like, do you like a shower or a bath? And how does that feel on your skin?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really coming back to this idea of falling in love with different sensations on the outward that have nothing to do with sex or with food or the way that you look. We want to take all of that off the table to begin and just find this embodied pleasure in a sensory in our environments.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is so, so huge. And if you remove the sex or food thing, right? It's just like seeking out pleasure for the sake of it, right? Like feeling good just to feel good. Like, because we deserve it, right? And I know for me, from personal experience, I was a total workaholic and wouldn't allow myself to slow down or to feel good or to chill. Like, that meant I was lazy, and that meant I was unworthy. And it was like that cycle, right, that kept me in the, I'm just going to keep doing, I'm going to keep trying, like, can't slow down. And then at a certain point, I either got injured or like shit happened, right? And your body is like, no, fuck you, slow down. And then I had to slow down and I had to enjoy and chill. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Why don't I do this more? And then I was like, I'm going to start doing this more. And like, I have been doing so many more, just like, I've just been playing more. I've been chilling more. Like, I took a bath the other night. Like, Kurt just got me bath bombs. I'm like, I have never told myself, I'm going to go take a bath. Like, that is for other people. And now I'm like, no, I'm taking a fucking bath.
Yes. I love that. I love it. Oh my God. Baths are the best. And, you know, so here's actually a really awesome sensory activity that I try to invite people to do when they take a bath, right? So instead of just like jumping out of the bathtub when you're done, let the drain go and stay lying in the bathtub. Close your eyes and actually feel the water going down and moving down your body. Mm-hmm. And notice that you go from almost this lightness because you're immersed in water to a little bit more of like a, it's like you're just more heavy because you, all of a sudden you're not in water. Yeah. And just noticing the sensation as the water trickles down your body can be such a pleasurable, beautiful sensory experience to, and this is something that you can just, normally you wouldn't ever think of, but this is a great way to start experiencing, well, what does that feel like? Or, wow, I feel like the water coming down my belly, my chest, my arms, my legs. And what am I experiencing during that? And it's, you can almost even make it like this beautiful meditation. Like, you're just releasing everything and it's all going down the drain. Everything is that you don't need, all the shit is just washing off of you and going down the drain.
Yes.
So it can be a really beautiful, like, sensory pleasurable meditative experience. And I don't know why you talked about baths and I'm just like,
I love that.
That's like my favorite thing to do in the bath.
I'm going to do that tonight because I was literally planning on taking a bath. So I'm going to try it.
Yes.
So I'm like mind reading my audience right now. And I have a feeling they're like, that sounds great and all, but honestly, that freaks me out. Like, it actually scares me to think about it, or it feels weird, or like I'm uncomfortable laying in the bath and like feeling, right? Or like even like touching my own arm, that's uncomfortable. It's like, nope, just next, get away from me. Like, gotta go brush my teeth or do something, you know? Yeah. And like, is that common? And where does that come from? And like, how do you support women through that? Like, how do you help yourself even experience pleasure more and have it be okay?
Yeah, so I would probably not recommend starting all of this work naked in a bathtub. That's actually very vulnerable. So maybe that's like a practice if like you're really okay with, you know, your body. So yeah, I could definitely see how that would, it's a very vulnerable place to begin. So maybe like your first embodiment practice, don't have it be. And actually, if you are curious about it, then definitely have it be that. Sure. So find a place that you feel comfortable first and foremost. And the first thing that I would do is try to find a place in the body that does feel okay. So there's probably 100 places that you're not okay, but where's the one place that you are okay with? And what is that experience? So maybe you don't want your arms touched. Maybe you don't want your legs. Maybe you would rather die than have your belly touched. But what if you touched your hair? Like, does that feel okay? Mm. And this is where that curiosity comes in. It's like, where is there pleasure in the body? So you can name off 100 places that aren't pleasurable. So let's just get curious about finding one small place that is. And maybe it's like your fingernails. Maybe you love to paint your fingernails a certain color. And that's where we focus. And you could literally just sit and brush your fingers along your fingernails and just notice how that feels. Notice how it feels on your fingernails. Notice how it feels on the hand touching the fingernails and go back and forth. So you start off really small depending on where somebody's at.
Yeah.
And it is important to eventually get to the places that you don't like or, you know, that cause discomfort and their pain, but it's equally as important to find the things that do feel good.
Mm.
So where do you like your ears massaged? Awesome. Let's start there. Like if that's pleasurable for you, fantastic. Right? So what does feel good? Maybe you like to brush your teeth and you know, I mean, some people just don't like, I don't actually love brushing my teeth. I do it, but
Whatever. Like, can I get out of this?
Exactly. But some people it's like their thing. And so it's like, okay, well then let's touch our teeth. Let's experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get creative,
yeah,
you know, and work with people's curiosities. Mm-hmm. Like where is the least, and if it's not like, if there's just nothing, I just hate everything. Nothing feels okay. Then I would go to, well, are you curious what it would be like if there was one place on your body that did feel good?
Mm.
Do you just have that little bit of curiosity, that one place? Yeah. What would that be like to have one place that felt good to touch, whether it's your nose or your toes or your knee?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would that be like? And start there. So sometimes it's as simple as breaking it completely down to what would it be like to experience that?
Mm. Yeah, that's so good. I think there's like a layer of almost like shame too that can cloud all of this work. Like if you're like, I don't know how to do that, or like my body is gross, or like there's a lot of judgment. And so I think like even for me, as you're saying that, I'm like, I guess I don't like my stomach touch. Like you can touch it, but like probably my least favorite thing to happen. And mm-hmm. so like, what is a place that's more neutral? And it's like, all right, your hand, right? Like your hand does a lot of things. It touches a lot of things. It gets touched by a lot of things probably. And it's almost like finding a place in your body that you don't really judge. Like your hand is a hand. It's weird. It's got these like five things growing out of it. Probably if you have all five fingers, you got nails on it. There's hair, there's weird skin. There's like calluses. It's fucking weird. Like, weird. Right. And like, we don't really judge it that much. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't judge my hands really. I'm like, oh, it could, they'd be nicer if they were more slender and girly like, but like I kind of have athletic like bro hands. That's cool. But like, it's different than if I was to be like my stomach, like I'd be like, oh, I can tell you 100 things I don't like about that. But like, it's, there's more like charge around that. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I would do with that is we would go back and forth between working with your hands. Like, what is it? Like, how do you like your hands touched? Do you love it when your partner holds your hands? Do you like hand massages? Do you like a certain smell of lotion when you have your hand massaged? Do you like nail color? Do you not? Do you like this? You know, and go through all the things that you love about your hands. And then maybe after you have that resource of like, yeah, my hands are fucking awesome. I love my hands. They're powerful. They're great. They're beautiful. Like then go into, you know, the stomach area. Mm-hmm. Or since that's going like right into like the heart of the trauma, maybe we go somewhere that's not so much. So maybe we start with your chest or your face or your back or your butt, or is there a different area that's like not the most activated area? Because sometimes when you do that, it's like, you know, let's come and just put our hands all over on our stomach and feel like, what do people do? Mm-hmm. They feel shame. They numb out. They dissociate. They're like, I'm not going to fucking do this anymore. I hate this. I'm just going to avoid. I'm going to pick up my phone. I'm going to check out. I don't want to hear you. I'm never coming back. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, the stories that we make up and things that we tell ourselves will be endless, which is why it's so important to find all those things that we do love about our body.
Like, yeah.
With your hands also, it's like, do you love to hold a warm cup of coffee or tea or hot chocolate?
Yes. You know, I'm like feeling it. I'm like, oh yes, I love doing that. Can we do it right now?
Yeah. And like, what does that do in your body when you're holding that with your hands? So you experience that in your hands first, but then, you know, does it make you smile? Does it just make everything relaxed? Do you feel like you're exhaling? So there's some sense of calmness to that, and really integrate that into your system. So you know that, you know, if like your partner comes up and grabs your stomach or does whatever, and it's like, I'm triggered right now. Okay, so what can I do? I can come back to my hands, place that I do love, and reground myself, reorient, and tap into something that I love. So maybe I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea just to hold this so that I can come out of that response.
Yeah, that is so cool. I'm just like, I'm envisioning that entire scenario, and I can see how that would be, that could be triggering for a lot of people and a lot of women that I work with, for sure. And it's like, how do you reground yourself, and what do those practices look like? And knowing yourself enough to be like, okay, I just got triggered. Here's what I can do now.
Yeah. So that's huge. Triggers are sometimes looked at such a negative thing, right? Mm. And they cause these big reactions, but I really like to look at them as a gateway to our healing. They're showing us what needs to be healed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the triggers do need to be placed aside because it's not the right time. It's not the right setting. It's not the right whatever. And you want to revisit that trigger. But when something comes up that's evoking a strong sensation in the body or emotion, that's something that wants to be looked at. There's some form of trauma that, whether it comes from, you know, neglect, abuse, your parents not showing up when you were 4 years old, a fall, car accident, whatever it is, there's something there that wants to be resolved. So I really like to reframe triggers as being something that you can almost befriend and work with. Mm-hmm. And it's showing you where the next step in your healing needs to go. Mm. Right. And so triggers can feel very, very overwhelming because it sends our nervous system into overdrive. So all of a sudden we're flooded, usually with some sort of like a fight, flight, or freeze hormone.
Yeah.
And our body doesn't know exactly how to process that. So something really quick and easy that I give to clients to do is to orient to your physical space that you're in that moment, right? Because if those aren't processed, a lot of times triggers can cause us anxiety and panic or outbursts. And if you can catch right when you're starting to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm super triggered right now, start looking around the room and find a color from, I use the rainbow because it's really easy, like red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. Find something that's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and then repeat as many times as you need so that you start realizing that right now I'm in this space. Like, try to get something on the ground. So if it's your feet, or place your hands on the ground. So literally grounding. And then also notice your sounds, like what sounds are happening, what smells am I, you know, what do I smell right now? Use your senses and really orient back to the physical space that you're in right now. Because what that does is that tells, triggers are usually from, you know, a past trauma that all of a sudden triggers your nervous system to say, ah, I'm not safe, I'm going to die right now.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately everything comes back to somehow I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And so if you can train your body to look around and realize, okay, right now, actually I'm safe. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling and experiencing a lot of emotions and sensations, but I can see the colors around the room. I can see that I'm safe. I can hear that I'm safe. I can feel the ground. I'm safe. You can come back, and then you can use whatever it was that triggered you beforehand and start to work with that. Usually not right in the moment that you're triggered. Right. You need to really be able to reorient and ground first.
Yeah. Yeah. That like high level of awareness and like safety of like, I am okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. And I think for a lot of the women I work with, their previous response to a trigger would be, I need to eat as much food as possible to numb or to soothe, or I'm going to go distract by doing something else, or not being able to sit with and be with the emotions or the triggers because they feel like they literally, quite literally, are going to die.
Yeah, absolutely. And we eat to suppress pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to feel that pain. So the more that you can eat and shove down, it's like you're physically shoving down that pain or that terror or whatever, you know, usually it's some form of terrorized, you know, inner child that we have to press down because it's too painful to look at and to be with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy how deep you can go in this like work. And I think from my own experience, I'm not sure about yours. I don't really know like your past experience with food or sexual stuff. But like for me, I've had experiences on both spectrums. Like I've had obviously disordered eating, binge eating, chronic overeating, and I've also had sexual trauma, and didn't realize that the two of those had a link, until very recently. Where I was like, whoa, I've never allowed myself to enjoy good foods or enjoy the things or enjoy the pleasure of like buying myself something. Like I wouldn't do that for myself. I wouldn't buy myself a bath bomb because I was like, no, like who am I to do that? Like I would rather spend my money on someone else, right? Or like I would rather give it away or whatever. And I think a lot of women can relate to that of like, who am I to enjoy this croissant, right? Like, so they don't eat it. And then they end up eating like 10 croissants on the weekend, or like they end up eating a bunch of other things, or they don't allow themselves to enjoy pleasure sexually. And then they feel deprived and try to get that pleasure from other things. So it's a holy crap. My eyes have been opened, I think, to that connection, especially through talking with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So many women deny themselves pleasure. And a lot of times it comes from this feeling of unworthiness. Mm-hmm. So something happened to you, some sort of trauma, something was said or done to you. And there's this inherent unworthiness. I'm not whole anymore. Right. So maybe that comes from society. Your body needs to look this way, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, you have sexual trauma and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, I'm not worthy of pleasure. And I don't even know what pleasure would look like because I don't know how to even receive that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how to give that to myself. I can't take a bath. Are you kidding me? Like, no, that damaged women don't deserve that. Mm-hmm. And that for sure shows up like sexually, you know, I'm just going to turn off. Many women have a really difficult time letting loose and surrendering into orgasm. And a lot of times that does come from trauma. And a lot of times women have a hard time enjoying a really beautiful meal. And that also comes from trauma, right? So you have like the two most delicious things in the world. Well, I'm going to say, in my opinion, the two most delicious things in the world, and that is our sexuality and orgasmic potential and connection to ourselves or with a partner. And you have delicious tastes and foods and smells and experiences around food. And yet we deny ourselves so much because we have been taught to suppress, or it's not safe to have one of these two things or all of these things. And it's a tragedy. It's a fucking tragedy that women aren't allowed to have delicious food and wonderful orgasmic sex, whether that's by themselves or with a partner. And that we have been made to feel unsafe in that, and that we don't deserve that because we deserve whatever fucking food we want while we have the orgasm. If we
Amen.
Want.
Serve me bacon and give me sex.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. 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 You deserve pleasure. Like, we're going to shake it out of you. And if you don't right now, even just starting to remind yourself, like, you do deserve it, right? Like, you deserve it. Why not you? Why anyone else but you? Like, you do deserve that. So notice that story. Notice when you are in your head, like, who am I? Just little me. Like, no, fuck that shit. You do deserve it. You do deserve to eat a nice meal and sit down and make the table look pretty and put some flowers on it. Even if you're eating by yourself, I don't fucking care. Make it nice.
Yes. And like, whose voice is that? Because that's not your voice.
Right.
Our bodies are meant for pleasure. We came out of the womb, this pure, full of love, light, and pleasure. And it's other voices that have made us not feel that. So whose voice is that really? Because that is not your authentic voice that's saying you don't deserve to eat this. You don't deserve to have good sex. You know, blah, blah, blah. You can't wear this. You can't do that. That's not your voice. Your authentic voice wants you to be able to walk outside and feel pleasure walking around on the grass, walking around on the ground, feeling the sun, and then going back inside and having your favorite meal and having an orgasm. Like, that's what our authentic voice and our bodies want us to do. It's the conditioning and the trauma. So yeah, it's really tuning into like, what is that voice? Is that mom or dad or whoever, societies or churches or whoever it is, whose voice is that that's telling me that I'm not worthy?
Yeah. Because it's not yours. And that's
not. Like,
I think that is so powerful, acknowledging that that's not your story. It's not your voice. And that you can turn the volume down on that bitch anytime.
Hell yeah. I say, oh yeah. I mean, I hear that voice. It comes for all of us.
Yeah.
And you just fuck off. Like, I put up a hand and I just say, fuck off. That's not my voice.
I don't have time for that anymore. Like,
I don't know.
And I think like once you practice this work and you practice being aware of that voice and the voice that's saying, oh, you don't deserve this food or, oh, you don't deserve this sex or whatever, this pleasure, however it manifests, notice it and tell it to fuck off. Like,
absolutely.
That's it. And then once you practice that, of like deepening in your truth, that voice gets quieter and quieter and quieter, and it comes up less and less and less, and it feels less intense. And then you can separate yourself from it. And I think that's where the true power lies, is knowing that that's not you. Like, that's all of your conditioning and your programming.
100%. And that's actually some of the deepest work that I've done personally, is being able to tell that voice to fuck off.
Yeah.
On the take back my pleasure, you know, take it all back. And that's ultimately what it's about. And that can sound so overwhelming. Take back all the pleasure, you know, have all the sex, eat all the food. And it's not about that, you know, I mean, it kind of is, but
in a way that makes you feel good.
In a way that makes you feel good.
Having orgies and like eating 18 Big Macs. It's like,
yeah.
finding the level of feel good that feels good for you.
And that embodied pleasure. So yeah. You are present in your body. You are listening to your body. My body says, fuck yes to this. Mm-hmm. It's that consent. It's the embodied consent. This is a yes, I want this. And feeling that pleasure when you're doing it. So how is this making me feel? Which is why to have all of the pleasure, you've got to have the little pleasure first. So how do you like your body to be touched? Do you like that hand massage? Do you like to lie in the bath and just let the water drain over you? How does that feel? Finding small ways to take back our pleasure is the way that we ultimately take back all of our pleasure and are able to tell that voice to fuck off. And it seriously starts with finding just one little thing on your body that you like. Whether it's holding that coffee, whether it's having your hair played. I love having my hair played with, I always do that.
I'm looking at this thing, you know, the
I have one of those,
and I'm
yes.
like in bed, I'm like, Kurt, don't even touch me. I just need this thing.
I have one of those, like the scalp massager things. Yeah. I do it every day, every day. It just like sits there. It's just part of my daily routine because it brings me so much pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is. It's finding those little tiny things. Yeah. You know, the road to full embodied pleasure and to trauma healing, I believe, starts so small. It starts with taking back piece by piece by piece and doing it every single day. This is a lifelong work, you know, but there's no better work to do than finding and taking back all of your pleasure. So, hey, it works, right? You get trauma healing, you get pleasure, you get all the food, you get sex, you get all of the good stuff. Yeah.
Oh my God. This, yes. This has been such an amazing conversation. I'm so excited to hear what everyone thinks. And like, you'll be like, oh my God, I need to learn more. I think that's what their response is going to be. Or like, whoa, that blew my fucking mind. Because I know when we had our first conversation, I was like, we need to talk more. I'm so excited. We're going to launch a course. We're going to like do things. Because this is like the deepest of all, like, this is the deepest core underneath all of the shit. It's like, oh, actually, it's just about this. Let's insert pleasure into your life, whether it's through food, through sex, through whatever. But feeling good is your fucking birthright, you know?
Fuck yes. We need to feel pleasure just for the fuck of it.
I love that. I'm going to be your next Instagram. Pleasure just for the fuck.
Actually, that's a really good one. I might actually do that.
Yeah, you can write that down.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for like just being on here and sharing. And I'm so excited to have everyone hop over to your Instagram page, follow you, talk a little bit about like what you're doing, what you offer. If people are more curious about this and how to work with you, like what does that look like? So share it all.
Yeah. So my Instagram handle and where you can find me all over social media is Breathe, Burn, Rise. And right now I'm doing only one-on-one work with clients. Next year, the first of the year, stay tuned. I'm launching the most amazing group coaching program ever. I've been like pulling in all my favorite teachers. So that will be coming. I'll be announcing that in the coming months. But right now I am only doing 2 to 3 month coaching and working with people. I also host 2 monthly workshops. One is called The Purge, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It is my favorite embodiment workshop that I teach. So it's all about releasing your anger and really feeling into grief and sadness and the rage and anger that us as women are told to shut down and suppress and not allow out, because otherwise we're the bitch and blah, blah, blah. And so I also call it like rage dancing. It's incredible.
I need to come.
Yeah, it's in a couple weeks. It is my favorite workshop that I have ever taught. And then I also do embodied feminine breath work for sexual healing once a month as well. So you can find links to all of those on my Instagram, to the little linky thing. And so yeah, 2 workshops and one-on-one and group coaching program coming soon.
Amazing. Yeah. And I'll put all of your info in the show notes so you guys can go check her out and follow her, just like all of the things. Your page is amazing. I've learned so much about myself. And I'm really excited to see your group coaching program. That's going to be epic. You're going to change lives. You
I'm
already
so
are.
Excited.
Oh my God.
You actually really inspired me to like get onto that. So thank you, actually.
Oh,
you
yeah.
are fucking amazing and an inspiration. And I love the work that you do. And I'm so appreciative for the work that you do with so many people. It's so needed. You are just an angel. It's like the most ecstatic angel ever.
Love it. Oh my God. I'm sending you so much love and I appreciate that so much. I feel the same. And I think that's what kind of brings us together, right? Is like the, that energy and that light, the light working in us of just being like, yeah, we're showing up, like empowering people to be better, empowering people to find themselves, to come back into alignment, like to show up, to own their shit, to feel fucking pleasure.
Yes. For the fuck of it.
For the fuck of it. On that note. Oh my gosh. Well, I love you, girl. I'm so grateful that you are here and I am so excited to do the next thing together, whatever that is.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Hell yeah.
Stay tuned.
I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye, hun.
Bye. Oh my God. What an incredible episode that was. I know that I learned a lot. I hope that you did too, in understanding how trauma manifests in the body and your nervous system and all of these sensations and feelings and stuckness and just all of the things. I think the biggest takeaway for me personally here is remembering that we are friends with our body. And when we allow it to feel, and when we get really curious and we start turning inward and ask ourselves, like, what actually makes your body feel good? Maybe it's literally just sitting by a window and feeling the sun in your face. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it's going for a hike. Whatever that is, do that. Don't do anything but that. Like, do what makes you feel good. And notice when you have that voice in your head. I know that voice for me sometimes can be so strong. It's like, no, you got to go lift weights. No, you got to go do high intensity cardio. And my body is like, no, don't do that, please. So if you can relate, I would just absolutely love to hear from you. Get in my DMs. I love when you show up in my DMs and message me and let me know. I'm going to be opening a few more spots to work with me for the end of 2020. You can get in, you can get the support you need to help you heal your relationship with food and your body so that you can just feel super fucking confident and just be the true woman that you know that you are, really connecting back to yourself. If that resonates with you, if this podcast landed for you, I would absolutely love to talk with you. Just send me a DM. That's all you got to do. And we'll go from there. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. And I am sending you all the love, all the light, all the dances. And just a reminder, starting next Monday, we are going to be doing live dance parties on Instagram. What up? With a live Q&A at the end. So get up on there. It's going to be noon Eastern on Mondays, every Monday moving forward. And I can't wait to see you there. I hope you have an amazing rest of the week and catch you on the next week's episode.